Every Thursday morning, we get caught up with the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington, our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well, thank you.
Were you was the meeting last night? There were so many meetings. I'm not sure which one, Keith, we should start with this afternoon, this morning, whichever day of the week this could be. But obviously a very, very busy day yesterday in city and county politics. Where should we start?
Let's start with food and beverage because you've got a lot of information on that. Where do we go from here, Mick?
Well, it's a great question as we've looked at this journey from way back 26 years ago and more when the convention center was first initiated as an idea, constructed, and the steps that went there. And I think Pat Stouffer's the county commissioner and I have kind of joked there's like 67 steps and we're still in probably the very early stages of many of those other steps that have to happen. And that's a fictitious number, by the way. Right. There may be 100 steps. I'm not sure, but we'll probably count them as we go through them. But clearly this convention center expansion, which, by the way, was supported in concept by all the county commissioners and the county council last night when they voted, even though not all of them voted in favor of the way it was funded, there seems to be pretty much a consensus that the convention center expansion is a good idea. And then, of course, the vote last night, the 4-3 vote by the county council, was to use the 1% food and beverage tax. So now that there's a funding mechanism, that requires you to collect the tax for a year before you can bond against it. And that's just to assure there's a revenue stream that's a predictable starting point, that you have a measurable number that you can count on before you bond against anything. That tax would start to be collected February 1st, by the way the law reads, and it goes to the county, and the county sets up a fund, and the city sets up a fund for their share, and that's to be held until that one-year past point. And then it can be bonded again. So what do we do in the next year? The county will need to appoint a group along with the city known as the Food and Beverage Commission. That commission is made up of 7 people. One of the county commissioners, it says the president of the county commissioners in the legislation, one representative from the county council on the city side, the mayor, and one representative from the city council, and then 3 jointly appointed members from entities that are collecting the food and beverage tax. So that could be a restaurant or a grocery store. No more than one of those entities can be from the downtown area, and one has to be from outside the city limits. So there's going to be some joint discussion about those 3 appointments and decisions made by the 2 respective elective bodies about who be their representative on this commission. That commission is responsible for approving the expenditures of the food and beverage tax that's collected. So there's an entity just like this on the innkeeper's tax side called the Tourism Commission, and they do the very same thing. It's a body that oversees the expenditures from the taxes that are collected. We also need to start talking about what we're going to build, right? And that's a big discussion. It needs a lot of public input. There's a hotel development that needs to be discussed on the private side. There's the convention center needs to be discussed on the public side, and obviously a whole lot of steps from where we are today to before there's a hotelier selected and a convention center project to present to that commission, which then would approve the expenditures of any funds collected to build the facility. I mentioned last night in our opportunity to present to the council, my experience tells me from conceptualization to ribbon cutting is about a 7-year process in a public project. It's not an absolute. It can go faster. We're way past the concept stage, mind you, with the convention center, but you know we're still pretty early on. It's going to take every bit of a year to design the facility, probably longer than that. Then there's the bid documents that have to be prepared, and then the bidding component, and then construction, which is likely at least an 18 to 24-month period of time. So, you know, from my perspective, we're several years away from cutting a ribbon. This is a very, very exciting and necessary step, or we wouldn't be having this conversation at all today.
Mick, let me ask you a question. You said that it's not decided that there's a hotelier that's been selected, yet we read the story about the gentleman that wanted to build the hotel. Explain that then. There is nobody that's got an inside track on that?
Well, I was on the commission, the advisory commission appointed by the county commissioners, and our task was to see if there was interest from a hotelier and someone who would be interested in building a potential convention center. That was what we were asked to bring forward. We did find an interested developer that would do that. We indicated all along in our discussions with them that it's great that you've indicated interest. That's helpful. That tells us there's market interest in our project. But there will be a very public process if the funding mechanism is identified. That will have to be identified after that funding mechanism has been approved. Well, we're at that stage now, so it's not my call to decide how we take the next steps. The county commissioners will need to speak, and I think the city is a big partner. We're pledging our entire part of the tax collected in the city towards this project. I assume, since we've had numerous discussions with our county colleagues and want to work closely with them, this is definitely a joint city-county project, that we'll get together and have this conversation. What is the next step? Do we do an RFP? Do we talk to the person we've already got that's got shown interest on the private side? On the public side, I think there's consensus that we definitely want to do a very public project and make sure we get the best design, the best developer to move forward on that. But again, you know, those discussions now will happen in earnest with the city and the county to determine the next steps.
Will you have more looking at it because the tax is in place?
Will we have more?
We have more. Do you think you'll have more nibbles, people looking at trying to...
More interest in
more
hotels.
More interest, right, yeah. Because the tax
is
in place.
Oh, no, that's a great point. I do think so because, you know, it's...
Because before, there wasn't a net before. Now you've got a net.
That's right. So, you know, before we couldn't answer the question from anybody.
Well, it was a terrible question I asked anyhow. So now that we're on the same page here.
We are on the same page. Yeah, the answer is yes to that. I think now that there's a funding mechanism, there will be more expressed interest.
But, Mick, one of the issues then is this hotel is not separate from everything else that... let's say that, now that the money's in place and all that, I can put my own money in to develop this. I'm not going to dig a hole and start building a hotel before you guys come up with your total plan for how this is all going to look and where everything's going to be, right?
Right. You definitely want to coordinate with the hotelier to develop sort of in concert with that developer so that the connection pieces, the walkways that would connect a hotel to convention space or parking structures or whatever would happen in the design of both. So you want to, you know, simultaneously have discussions with interested hoteliers that want to build along with our convention center project. And you know, this company that did indicate interest in the preliminary phase said that we would do one or both or whatever you would like us to do. They have experience in both, which is great. Again, now we're likely, I think, to open it up and see who else has interest so we can get the best product for our market, both on the hotel side and the best convention civic center that we can get on the public side.
Mick Renhuizen is our guest this morning. The deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington checks in with us Thursday mornings just after 8:30. Now, Mick, we talk about the timeline of getting shovels in the ground and turnaround time on putting buildings up and coordinating this in bids. We're talking 7-8 years. How does that going to affect the final price tag? If this thing jumps up to $100 million or $90 million, are we covered in there? Do we have to raise more taxes? Put people's mind at ease on how the process works. I know you don't have a crystal ball in front of you, but at least you've been through these before.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like anybody, like I always use the example of when you buy a house or you build your own house to put it into a real personal perspective for people, or you buy a car. It doesn't really matter what the acquisition. You have a budget. You know you can't go over the budget. You buy what you can afford. So the tax will produce a number, $2.5 million to $3 million, we think, but we have to collect it for a year. There has to be bond coverage, which means, you know, no banker's going to lend you more money for your house than you can afford. That's not good practice. They want to collect their monthly mortgage from you, and bondholders want to collect their payments from municipalities when they bond against tax-based debt. And so we'll have to live with a budget. So that if that means that can produce, you know, $30 million for the public side of this project, then that's our budget. If we want to augment that, then we have to find other sources of funds to do that. We don't know until we get into the design phase how far those dollars will stretch. That's just one of the many next steps we'll be taking. But, of course, we're not going to say, oh, well, darn it, that now we have to spend $100 million, we need 2% food and beverage tax. No, that is not going to happen. That is not at all an outcome that anyone should think is going to happen. We will live within the budgeted means of what the tax provides to us, and we will build within those constraints. Mind you, we want to build a quality project, but again, we all realize we have a budget to work with, and we're not going to ask for additional resources, an additional tax or anything like that to cover the cost of building the public side of this project.
Mick, in your former life with your Parks and Rec, you got tournaments to come to this town. Sometimes years in advance you book these things. How soon do you start selling Bloomington as a convention destination based on what is going to be happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the 7 years that I mentioned in typical public projects, I'd like to clarify, I think we're a couple years into that because we're way past concept. So
right.
Let's say we have 3 to 4 years before we actually have a building somebody could get into. And I think that's reasonable that could happen in that time span, and maybe a little quicker depending on, you know, how these next critical steps start to take shape. So if that's the horizon, you know, convention sales staff, Visit Bloomington staff, the management of the convention center would start to sell with that date in mind. And that becomes real critical because now you have a hard date where this happened to me at Twin Lakes when we built the softball park. We had to have it open by April 15th, 1992 to have leagues. And if leagues didn't start that night and I had 200 teams sign up, we had a problem, right? We had to postpone.
Everybody to Mick's backyard.
Right, right. So, you know, I didn't want that. And so you push to the deadline. And so once that deadline becomes evident, then the sales staff will have obviously a couple years of advance notice to do that. We'll have a pretty good idea what the timeline will look like, I would think, by a couple years out. And then you start selling to that date because conventions and meetings right. do plan at least that far ahead. So it'll be critical to establish a good hard date that we can all live with, including whoever we use to construct the facility, and then have the sales staff get out and do what they do, sell events.
Who's going to be in charge of keeping this project on track? Who's going to be in charge of making sure these meetings and dates and hard deadlines are met?
Great question, and you're asking me 9 hours after this passed.
Well, that's a full day's work.
I think everybody has thought a little bit about that, and that's the right question to ask. This is a joint project, and my hope and my belief is that the county commissioners and the mayor's office will begin to initiate that next round of discussions. It suggests how we do go about getting from where we are to the next very critical steps. That 7-member commission appointment process is going to take some time to identify the entities and get them appointed. They don't really have a role specifically now because there's no tax to be expended, and they can't use it for a year. So that seems to me, while we might want to appoint that in the not-too-distant future, its role doesn't really become that critical until the tax has been collected for a year. Now, they'll certainly want to get on board and understand a lot more about the project moving forward, but there probably needs to be an interim entity established between the city and county and Visit Bloomington and the Building Corporation of the county and all the entities that have land and knowledge and expertise in this to figure out how to push the next steps forward. So I suspect today we'll be having those discussions with our counterparts and initiate what the logical next steps is. And then I'd love to be able to report that to you guys when we have a path forward.
Mick, you had and I don't know what it was called, some kind of a commission advisory group. John Weikart was a part of it to get you to where you are now. Is that group now done with their work, or did they become a player in this next phase?
We could be. Again, that's commissioner-appointed positions. We felt like we had 8 steps to get to last night, and last night was the 8th. And so if the county commissioners see that this 5-person advisory commission or any other configuration of it makes sense to continue forward in a role that helps move us to the next set of steps, that could be a consideration, but that is up to the county commissioners.
All right. So that's good information. Just 9 hours hot off the presses here. And yeah, obviously we'll talk about this as time marches on as well. And when we look at this, there aren't hard deadlines each month. This is just going to kind of organically come together. So if anybody's waiting for the next big news on this, well, we're just going to have to wait for the next big news on this, correct?
I think so. I think we can put together a timeline. I hope we do. That's in my former life, as you all have indicated. I certainly would be thinking along those lines of what are the next steps. Let's identify them with the groups that we just talked about, and let's put a temporary timeline together. Let's back time it from the time we want to be open and see what it's going to take to get to that date.
By the way, last night the city council took an action or a vote, a preliminary vote. So what about that?
So that's the interim adjustments, amendments to the Unified Development Ordinance that particularly affects the downtown and the downtown overlay districts. The amendment is to lower the heights and density requirements that would allow a developer to do a by-right project. In other words, if you meet the basic standards, you can build your project. I just have to go through quick plan commission approval, but really not much can be done to deny a project when it's a by-right project. And because we're in this transition from the 15-year-old comprehensive plan and the soon-to-be rewritten Unified Development Ordinance after the comp plan is approved, we're in this kind of awkward time where buildings continue to come forward that really projects, some, that don't quite meet the intentions of the new comp plan. And the public, as we hear it anyway, is pretty adamantly saying we're tired of seeing some of these projects go up in our very precious downtown that we don't think fit the fabric and the future of what we think the downtown should be. So there's like this tipping point feeling from the public. That's the way we hear it and feel it and see it. So I would certainly offer their other opinions about this. So the city council has entertained an amendment to the Unified Development Ordinance to change those parameters, if you will, for a, I think the amended document says 12-month period while we're going through the approval process for the new final UDO that will take about a year to get to, just so there's discussion about projects as they come through the planning department and then through the plan commission process. Plan commission approved this Monday night, 7-1. City council has to approve it. They have one more meeting next week unless they choose to take longer to approve it. And then that would be the interim way that projects are looked at in the downtown and the downtown overlays. Doesn't stop development at all. That is a misnomer. It certainly means there's going to be more discussion and less by-right, potentially, projects moving forward as a result of the UDO amendment if it passes the city council next week.
And that meeting is next week on the 20th. So if you're interested in any of that, you can find more details at the city's website. Quick trivia for us this morning.
Yeah. So we announced this week that our city communications director, Mary Catherine Carmichael, will move into a newly created position. And that's going to start on January 2nd. So the question for you is, what's the name of that position? Is it chief of staff? Is it the director of community engagement? Is it the Director of Public Events and Initiatives, or is it the Information Officer for the Bloomington Police Department?
Number two, community engagement.
Yeah, it's community engagement, isn't it?
That is right. It's the new Director of Community Engagement. We're excited to have her in that role. We think she'll be great at it. She already does a lot of this, but she's been doing it in conjunction with communications tasks, which are also very intense at the city. And so now we'll have somebody who can actually go out to meetings in advance, listen to the pulse of the community and report that back and help guide policy at the city. So we're hoping that that gives us some more eyes and ears and a face of the mayor's office to go out and a face of the city to listen to concerns and then bring those concerns back to us before we make decisions and policy. Mary Catherine is a graduate of Indiana University, and she's originally from which city? A, Indianapolis, B, Terre Haute, C, Kokomo, or D, Carmichael, California?
Boy.
So it's a 1-in-3 shot. I'm going with Indianapolis.
I'll take Kokomo.
It is Kokomo.
Wow.
She is from Kokomo, Indiana.
Well, we're learning.
You got some great sayings sometimes that are Kokomo-ish that you'll have to hear, some of which are pretty amusing.
Isn't there a Beach Boys
and
song?
And finally, this weekend, the City Parks Department will host which two popular holiday events? Is it A, Skating with Santa and the city's annual candy cane hunt? B, Shopping with Santa and Hunting for Bargains? C, the Ho 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 Hoedown and Holiday Jamboree at City Hall? Or D, Breakfast with Santa and Lunch with Krampus?
Well, we're not having Krampus for lunch, are we? I'm going to say the candy cane hunt.
Yes. because I don't remember the others.
Skating with Santa and the city's annual candy cane hunt happened this weekend. The candy cane hunt is at Banneker Community Center on Friday, December 15th from 5:30 to 7:30, $5 per family.
Well, that sounds like a very affordable deal, so everybody go out there and enjoy it. We've got a boogie. You've got a, again, you've already had a long day yesterday. Don't have a too long of one today, and we'll get caught up with you next Thursday.
Thank you, guys.